Welcome to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. I'm Cheryl, and I invite you to join me on my quest to find out, why are people homeschooling? How do you do it? How does it differ from region to region? And should I homeschool my kids? Stick with me as I interview homeschooling families across the country to unfold the answers to each of these questions week by week. Welcome. With us today, we have Mindy Muller and Kendra Wright from Wealthy and Rad. How are you ladies doing?
Good.
We're good. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for being on here. Who should I start with? Because I'd really like to get kind of an introduction to both of you and your company and how you guys connect with homeschooling.
Mindy.
All right, Mindy, we'll throw it to you. So Kendra, you were that one in school.
Okay.
Not it.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Mindy. So tell us about your business and about how wonderful Kendra is, because that's really why she was throwing it to you, right?
Oh, that's true.
Kendra is awesome. She actually was homeschooled herself, and then she homeschools her children, and she's brilliant. So it'll be fun to get her story. I, on the other hand, my kids were public schooled through sixth grade. Well, it's hard. I have triplets.
Wow.
And so when my triplets were about to go into sixth grade, that's middle school in Utah, I felt very strongly they should not go to middle school. I'd heard a lot of things. I had an older daughter already. She's 5 years older, and she'd been through middle school, and it was the worst time for us. And I just really wanted to avoid that time. So I also had a fourth grade. She was going to go into fourth grade. And so I just decided I was going to do a clean sweep and homeschool everybody from my oldest, who was a sophomore, she was a junior in high school. So I pulled everybody home and we began our homeschool journey. And luckily there was a lady in our neighborhood who belonged to a co-op or a commonwealth in Utah. And I went to her house. I knew she homeschooled. I actually revered homeschooling really well. I just didn't feel like I would be very good. I was worried about my patience level. I think most moms are. I think that's really not uncommon. And I met with her, and her name was Leslie. And I said, tell me, like, I was so green. So at the very beginning, like, I know nothing. Tell me where I can start. But I am a researcher by nature. So I had read a few articles, but I needed some hands-on, like, true life experiences of what to do now. And so she said, I'll share with you what I do. And so she did. She said, I belong to this co-op. I also teach my children here. But the co-op or commonwealth was phenomenal. And it enabled me to meet tons of moms, Kendra being one of them. And that's how we began rubbing shoulders or elbows, because Kendra and I were able to get to know each other. Kendra taught my children. I taught Kendra's children. So it was really fun to be able to get to know her better. So that is how I first met Kendra. And that's how I began homeschooling.
Oh, that's cool. And then Kendra, did you homeschool from the very beginning?
So I was homeschooled from the very beginning. When I started homeschooling, my mom pulled my sister out in fourth grade, and I wasn't even born yet. So I just was born into a homeschool family. That was when it was kind of weird. And people, you know, were like, I can't believe you homeschool.
Even in Utah?
People actually were surprised. Even in Utah.
Even
people
in
were actually
Utah.
Surprised, because my mom was really good at socializing us. You know, like, we were involved with lots of activities, and we knew a lot of people. I did end up going to high school. She was nervous about, you know, credits and making sure that we graduated. And so I went from ninth grade on to high school, and it was fine. It was fun. But I knew, so my older sisters homeschooled their kids when they first started. And when I started having kids, I'm like, I'm homeschooling my kids. And so when we first started, my daughter was in kindergarten. We lived right by an elementary school. And I'm like, I'm not quite ready. So I sent her to kindergarten. It was like two and a half hours a day, you know, half day kindergarten. And then I got myself ready, kind of prepared what we were going to do that year and the next year. And then I just dove into it right after that. So I have five kids, a girl that's now 20 to a boy down to, and then four boys from 17 to 10.
Wow.
And we have loved it. We've loved it. They've all homeschooled. My older two are graduated, and I just have three more that I'm homeschooling. So it's been awesome.
I have a lot of questions. I try not to write them down because I want to pay attention, but I want to make sure I remember them all too. Okay. So your transition, you said that you loved it. Like you were happy that you did high school in a traditional setting. Did that, when you decided to homeschool your kids, did that weigh into your decision at all? Because you did enjoy being in a high school. Were you worried that you were taking anything away from them by homeschooling them for high school?
So I didn't go into it thinking I would homeschool them through high school. I totally thought, oh, by the time they're in ninth grade and it starts to count, right, and they need to have the credits to graduate, then I was going to put them all back in. And I had a few friends that were like, no, you can totally do this. Like, they don't have to graduate from high school if they want to go to college anymore. There's so much more that you can do with homeschooling and in the world of college that you don't have to. You don't have to have a high school diploma or, you know, a traditional high school diploma. And I was like, I don't know about that. Like, that made me nervous. But so the other thing, my kids participate in sports. And so they are still able to participate in the sports through the high schools that they wanted to here in Utah and not go to school. So that's been kind of fun for them. They're still over kind of at the high school after school doing their sports, but school at home. So
yeah.
And so, I don't know. I just felt like I could do
it. And so they probably, if they wanted to participate in like the prom or, you know, things like that, that we look back on and think of, oh, my kid's going to miss out on the prom for like whatever, how much fun that really was at the time. I think the movies tell us it was fun. So, you know, those are the things, but yeah, that's the difference too, which I guess even if you live in a state like I do in New York, your child cannot participate in the school sports. However, you can still be invited to a prom and go. And there are other sports like for instance, basketball. If you wanted to be on a travel basketball league, you could still do that. And I don't know, I guess it's just outside of school in a more intense kind of way. So there are other things they can do. And I think that, like Mindy, you were saying before, you wanted real life experience with it, like real life, a day in the life of a homeschooler when you started talking to that other mom. And that's why I started the podcast, because I was trying to look up YouTube videos. I'm like, what does a day even look like? You know, is everyone like, do they wake up and start sewing clothes? Or like, what does it really entail? You know? and I couldn't find too much. So I started asking people in real life, and then one day was like, well, let's just ask people. This is just New York. Let's see what they're doing all over the place. So that's been really cool. Now, having five, and you have a vast age gap there. And Mindy, I didn't ask you how old your kids were, but you can probably answer this after Kendra too. How did you guys work in educating all the different ages and like occupying the little ones while you're trying to teach the older ones?
So for me, it has changed so much every year, right? Because I started with just two kids and that wasn't very hard. And then I would have babies and I'd have to keep the babies occupied. But one thing I found was some subjects we can teach together. And some subjects they have to learn on their own, like math, that was kind of their own type of thing. And I'd have to be with them most of the time when they were at least in elementary age to help them with their math. But a lot of subjects I could teach to all of them and be able to, you know, give an assignment to the older one that's harder than, you know, just a project or an activity for the older one as opposed to something different for my younger child. So we kind of did it a family school style when it came to like core subjects besides math, keeping little things for the kids that are younger to entertain them while I'm teaching or doing it during nap time.
Mm-hmm. Mindy, did you have the similar or so, any other tricks?
Well, I was lucky because most of my kids are the same age.
Oh, that's right. You
because
have
I had triplets. So they did learn all of the same things just because they were all on the same age. And then my daughter, who's 2 years younger, she has always just, she should have come as a quadruplet, really. So she just kind of stays on their level, to be honest with you. So I just kind of did them all together. My oldest daughter, she's 24 now, And my triplets are 19. They graduated last year. And then, and they graduated from homeschool. And then my youngest is 17 and she'll graduate actually this year. She'll graduate early, but she actually went to public school for high school. And she chose that. She really wanted that. And I felt okay with that decision. And she's done great. So I was really glad. She was so worried she'd be behind. She was so concerned she'd be behind. And she has excelled. She's a straight A student. She's done so good. And I had to, I was like, Quincy, I think she thinks that we were, I think her thoughts were, we're loosey goosey and other kids are so smart. And I wouldn't say that we were a loosey goosey school because we did school every day. I mean, but I wasn't a rigid, I can't do rigid. And so, so we had a plan, but the plan was so flexible. And I think she worried that she was, that she wasn't getting what she needed without like more of a structure, but she did great. She knew what she needed to know and she did good. So teaching all of my kids being nearly the same age was really a good thing. And I never had any babies with them. So for me, I reached that point where I was like, okay, maybe I can do homeschool because I'm not, it's all one thing, right? I just, you know, everyone gets sixth grade. Everybody. Yeah. So it made it easy for me.
What sort of curriculums did you pick or did you like or not like throughout the years?
I reached a point, there were some curriculums we would do. One of them was through LEMI, where it was through our Commonwealth. And so my kids use that a lot. And then I would just supplement with different things. For math, we did, it's been long enough now where I'm like, teaching textbooks. We did teaching textbooks. Okay. Yeah. I did teaching textbooks. And then a lot of it, it was my creation, whatever I was like, okay, we're doing this. I really want you to learn cursive. And I really want you to learn these things. And this is really important subject. We're going to learn about this one. We're going to learn about that. So I wasn't opposed to ever learning it myself to be able to teach it.
And I think that's huge because before I ever really like got into homeschooling, I was like, I am not going to be one of those people that sits there and prepares the lesson plans for the week or the year. I was like, that's just not me. I don't have one, a desire, or two, I don't know, like the wherewithal to even know what they would need done. But even my son is only 5, so we're like just getting into the kindergarten year. I think once you get your feet wet, you're like, oh, well, like right now we're switching it up. I told him we're not doing any of your phonics or math for 3 weeks. We're just going to do a Christmas. It's called a Connected Christmas through Treehouse Schoolhouse. And we're going to do that. So it's like a little bit of like Bible stuff, copy work, art. We talk about paintings, a little geography and a book and a craft with it. And it's been really perfect. Fun. And I'm like, all right, this was me changing it up and playing it. Cool. So it sounds so intimidating.
Oh,
but
yes.
Once you're in it, it's not. You like, and then there's always people that are going to be like, well, I'm doing this curriculum and that's amazing. And I'm doing this one. And, and you're always going to feel like you're not doing the best one. But the best one is just the one that you two have fun together with. And you've got like 12 or 13 tries because they go from kindergarten to 12th grade. So you have all these different tries. Yeah. And then if you really hated it, throw it out and get a new one, or just revamp it to what your needs are. But it sounds way more intimidating, I have realized. And when you're actually doing it, it's not. There's so much help out there, so many resources.
Oh, I totally agree with that. Yeah. Yeah.
So any curriculums that you hate it? I don't, that you would not do again?
Oh.
Kendra, you probably have better.
So I don't want to rag on curriculums. There's one curriculum.
Because we have one that.
A language arts curriculum that my kids, I think it is designed for girls that love to be artsy and crafty. Mm-hmm. And I have 4 boys when we started it. And we just threw it out. I was like, I can't. This is so cute.
You don't want to say it?
My daughter would have loved this, but I shouldn't say
it. All right.
All right, I'm not going to say it.
You have girls.
It is a great curriculum for girls and like boys that love the artsy side. But yeah.
Your boys want a little bit more Boy Scout.
There's definitely good curriculums that I'm like, yeah, well, they like want to be outside most of the time anyway. So I just think it's so good to realize something and be like, I don't have to stick with this and to move on to something different and not be stuck in a curriculum that your kids hate and make them feel miserable. Like, that's the worst. It's not fun to homeschool a kid that's like, I hate this. I mean, granted, there are times when your kids are going to hate their math lesson, right? And you're still just going to be like, well, let's keep doing it. Let's push through, you know. But some curriculums aren't worth keeping if it's not enjoyable.
Yeah. Like, there, especially in the homeschool community, there's so much with like the unschooling that's, oh no, just we let them kind of learn whatever they, you know, feel like learning that day and we'll delve into that. But I'm just not that way. Like, I think I have a little too much OCD. I need to say, like, this is what we're starting and we're going to complete this. And I know that you've learned something. Because I feel like it would start out wonderful the first day and then we would never get anything done ever again. Because there's always something else to do, right? Like cleaning, cooking, laundry, shopping. So, yeah, I need the, like, we have to sit and do this. But yeah, so you do have to initially get over. I think for my son, it was like, this is the new way we're doing it, because especially when he did go to a preschool and he didn't like that, but he just wants to play all the time. And it's like, okay, I know you want to play, but I want to set you up at least with phonics and some basic math so that you like, cause we'll be doing, he'll be doing stuff with his father in the garage and he'll need to know like numbers or how to, you know, to help his dad fix this or fix that. So, you know, I've settled on that's where we are. We're going to do a curriculum, but we don't have to pressure it. But what do you do, especially for the boys that are so high energy? And I know everyone says, well, take breaks, take breaks. I would literally be taking a break every 5 minutes, though, if he would, you know, if I let him do a break every time he was too antsy. Do you have ways to reel them in, these boys that just have little – they're little like Mexican jumping beans. That's probably a derogatory saying these days, but I used to have those.
Yeah, but they're just movement, move, move, move. Yeah.
Kendra, well, I think taking breaks, obviously. My son's like a 10-minute homeschooler, like 10 minutes and then go take a break for 20 and then come back and do something for 10. He's 10 years old and he wants to learn. He wants to read, but he can't sit for a long time. And so I don't know, one thing he does love to do, we have a trampoline. He will go and do his work on the trampoline, you know, and he'll play for a minute and then put it to the side and then sit back down and do his handwriting worksheet and then jump around for a minute and then read his book. Sometimes I worry at the end of the day, like, did he do enough? And if I really wrote down all that he did that day, it's enough. Like, he went and helped his dad work in the garage and he mowed the lawn with his dad and he played Legos, did some engineering with that. He did math with me and we did a little family school lesson. That was enough for him, you know? And I think sometimes we're hard on ourselves. Like, oh, I didn't do enough with my 5-year-old or my 10-year-old, but really, like, they're going to be just fine. And
we have
boys love,
because they're in school for 7 hours. So you think that they're learning that whole time.
Seven.
But it's, they're not.
No.
Well, and they're bored and they're getting in trouble because they want to be outside. They want to be moving. And I don't know how I'm like, I sometimes threaten him. Like, I could send you to public school if you don't do anything. You know, and he's like, no, don't do that. I have to sit at a desk all day.
I say that every day, I think. It's going to bite me in the butt cruelty someday. I know.
I know. I know. He'll be like, fine, send me.
But that's the funny thing is he did not like going to preschool. And I was actually glad that I sent him last year because I got to see all the things. And it was a private preschool. I got to see all the things that I didn't like. Like, they were just pouring hand sanitizer on them. Never even asking the parents, do you want us putting this chemical on him? That, like, he told us because he knows that my husband and I don't like that. So he's the one that told us, and just different things. Like, he was thirsty, but it wasn't time to drink. So they wouldn't let him have a drink and things that I'm like, wow, you don't need to learn that. I'm happy that I got to see at least that brief bit. And actually, Mindy, you were saying something about kindergarten only being a half day there in New York. It's been a full day for at least 10 years now. Full day kindergarten.
I think they actually recently changed the full day here too.
Really? Yeah.
But
oh, did they?
Yeah. I think it is
full. Well, that is so long for those little kids.
5 years old.
Wow.
I mean, I started thinking about this recently too. Like the rhythm of a child just getting up in the morning when they are well rested, like naturally. And I get it that some older teenagers might, oh, they'll just sleep all day. But like a child that's growing, there's got to be something to that too. I mean, my kid is still, doesn't sit still. But have you guys looked into that or like the benefits of the homeschooling as far as not being under the fluorescent lights and just getting outside and the other health benefits along with it?
I haven't looked into the fluorescent light thing, but sleep is huge.
That's
for our
smart
family.
Though.
Yeah, sleep is, I think we go to bed around 10 o'clock at night and I let my kids sleep till at least 8. I'm not a let's hurry. I mean, there's some days when they get up earlier. My teenagers get up earlier, but my younger ones, they need the sleep. And we have all day to do school, so I'm not. I see these little kids that are in sixth grade walking to the middle school at 6:30 and it's dark mm-hmm. in the morning. And I'm like, they need more sleep. These kids are tired.
Yeah.
So that's.
And I did learn some things about, I thought it was really interesting that when I pulled my kids out, the girls, so they were 10. So my triplets are 2 girls and a boy, and my youngest is a girl. I have 4 girls and a boy. Kendra has 4 boys and a girl. So those girls, when I pulled them out, we did school, we would do it. And school is really, it was more structured, like time-wise, not necessarily activity-wise. But we do school from 9 to noon. That's just kind of how we worked. And I told them, okay, you finished all your activities. Awesome. You have about a half an hour to fill in with school. So what are you going to do? And they would be like, oh, I'm going to make a newspaper or I'm going to work on this. Okay, great. And then after that, they would play. And okay, my girls, in school the year before, they were like worrying about what they're wearing, how their hair was. They were getting really concerned about what other people thought about them and kind of sassy in how they were. And that completely changed. It took about 3 weeks of school, 2 weeks of our first homeschooling. We finally did it. And at that 2 week mark, after school, after noon, they started playing with dolls again.
Hey friends, thank you for tuning in this week. If you have listened to my podcast for any amount of time, you know that I will only work with affiliates that I actually use myself. And why do I even have to work with affiliates? Well, podcasting is not free. As much as I would love to continue to do this and not interrupt your listening experience, it is important to me that when I do have to interrupt, it is for something fantastic and also something that you would spend your money on anyway, because if there's anything that I hate, it is being a saleswoman. I was really seeking a company who is based in the US and has products that I use anyway, but maybe in a healthier version. And I have found the company, Earthly Wellness. They make all of their products from all natural ingredients. If you head over to the link in the show's description, they will know that I sent you and you can get 10% off your first order by using code HOMESCHOOLHOWTO. Now, these products are things that you would buy anyways. Shampoos, soaps, there's sunscreen, a pesticide, there's vitamins on there. There is everything from activated charcoal, herbal remedies for different ailments, dry shampoo, shaving soap. They have a pain relief rub. They've got cleaning products. And they have an entire line just for homeschooling products. What I am super excited for to come in the mail, I am waiting right now on their tension relief because sometimes when we're home with our kids all day, there might be some tension in the home. But they have all natural ways of remedying that. So I would really love for you to go check out their website. You can go on to the show's description at Earthly Wellness. Don't forget to use code HOMESCHOOLHOWTO so that you can get 10% off your first order. As always, thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.
Oh, they wouldn't have played with dolls. They hadn't played with dolls since they were like 7 or 8. But because they didn't have the pressures of what they should be playing with or what wouldn't be cool, they totally played dolls in my family room for hours. And they did that for years. I remember reading Little Women. And the youngest one was 13 and she was saying how she played with the doll, her doll. And I was like, what in the world? What 13-year-old plays with their doll? Like, my kids wouldn't even play with their dolls. And then I got it. Like, I saw it and I went, oh my gosh, this is how. They don't have the influence. They don't have the influence of others' views pushing on them at all. They're in a completely accepted state. You are accepted as you are in this school of our home. And so they've never had to meet expectation of social, any kind of social, you know, expectation other than being polite. I mean, there's obviously social acceptation, you know, acceptability in a family. But to be able to see how they weren't influenced on what they would like to do was really eye-opening. So eye-opening for me. So that was a really cool thing to note when we began.
Yeah. And I think for myself, just thinking back to like, you know, let's get this boy to like you. And what are you going to wear? And what girl does he like? And you yes! guys start to dress like mm-hmm. her. Yeah. And then getting that competition with the girls. And that was before social media. So I cannot imagine what it's like
even worse now.
Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine. I mean, yeah, I feel awful for the kids that are going through it with, they'll just never know what it was like to not have
completely,
you know, these apps and Snapchat and whatever else. And how do you guys navigate that with your kids? Screen time? Do you allow any, some?
So we do have a couple of like curriculums that we use. Their math is online. So that kind of stuff is just school. Outside of that, my kids have a Switch. I don't love the Switch, but they do play their Switch. They get some Switch time on the weekends. And then other than that, a couple times a week they can watch a show or a movie. But yeah, that's about all we do. They don't, as far as cell phones, they don't have smartphones. My older teenager has a smartphone now. The one that's graduated. But other than that, we just don't have a ton of technology in our home.
We didn't either.
Was that transition hard for your oldest who didn't really have much and then to get a smartphone as they graduated?
So, I mean, we started with like the Gab phone with him when he was 15. And now he doesn't actually care about social media. So he doesn't have any social media on his phone. It really, he just uses it for talk and text and pictures. I feel like he's realized he doesn't really care about that, but he's not into that. Like he doesn't really care about social media. Yeah. So I haven't dealt with that. With my daughter, I will say when she did transition, she got an Instagram account. She was super excited and she got super depressed because she would sit in her room and she loves art and she would draw and she would watch reels. And they weren't bad. There was nothing there was negative, but she would just sit there for hours drawing and watching reels. And for a couple of weeks, I realized how kind of just grumpy she was. And I asked her, I'm like, what's different? Why are you so grumpy? And we realized it was that. Wow. And so she took Instagram off of her phone and it was like night and day within a few days. She was happier. She was fine. Wow. And then she realized like, okay, I can have social media, but I need to manage how much I'm sitting there watching it.
Imagine,
and, I don't know, Mindy, you have teenage girls now that have that. Have you?
If we could just, yeah.
Oh, us too. It's so true.
Yeah.
It's all about balance. My kids were older when they got their cell phones as well. They were 14 or 15, 14. They're 14. And they're heavily locked down pretty well. And it's hard. The management of it is so difficult. I'm grateful that my kids are pretty much past the stage where I have to manage it, because it has to be handed over to them as an adult to say, this is too much, or I'm going to take this. So I know that my kids will take apps off and on, like TikTok gets on and off gets removed. I think once, by some of my kids, they'll be like, too much time, and they'll take it off. And then they'll put it on for a while because they need access to something or something. They'll have it on for a while and then they go, wait, I need to get this off. As for other technology, because we didn't have it too much, we just had, you know, if they had an online program, they would use it. We had a Wii, and that was the only thing I would allow in our house for gaming. And that was allowed usually only on the weekends, and it had limited hours because my kids would get like they would get so absorbed in it, especially my son. He was moody and angry and he could only think about it. There's an addictive piece that his tendency is to have it. And now as an adult, we can see it kind of play out a little bit. And it's interesting. It will be interesting to watch how he goes through and sets his own boundaries now. But I knew that there was a problem when he was young. How to manage through that, I'm not sure. I might do things a little differently maybe if I was doing it again. I'm not really sure. It's hard. How do you do it?
You know, it is hard because, well, in technology, it's so different than when we were growing up. Like, I'll be 40 in a couple months. We had a Nintendo, but I don't remember my sister or I ever being obsessed with it. It was just like there. You'd play some games, Super Mario Brothers, the, I don't know, Duck Hunt. And then you went on with your day. Yeah. I did watch a lot of TV, a lot of like Full House, Saved by the Bell, Family Matters, those, you know, Nick at Night, that sort of stuff.
Same.
The TVs were always on in our house. But now, like we have like the Rokus for all the TVs. So it's not like you can just turn the TV on and have it playing like in my sister's house or my in-laws. It's just kind of always on as the background noise. So that's good. But my son, if we do something one day, he asks for it again the next day. Like, oh, this is our new routine. Like if I had the TV on during breakfast so that I could get something else done or whatever, he'd be like, well, can we do that again? And he'll remember, you know, so it's almost like you got to break the cycle or not start the cycle at all. And if he gets on a game, like he does this farming game on his iPad. And yeah, you really have, if he does it one day, the same time the next day, well, can I do that now? Can I do the farm game? Because I'm done with my schoolwork. And it's like, well, you should want to go outside. And he is a big going outside kind of kid. But it's also cold here now. It's state New York.
No, it is hard in the winter.
So it's like, okay, go on. It's dark. Yeah. It's 4:30. It's dark outside right now. It's terrible.
Dark.
But yeah, I'm still navigating it because, and I don't really have any other video games in our house, but, and you know, obviously he doesn't have a cell phone at 5, but I'm sure there are kids that do. And it's like, you don't want them to leave you at 18, like never having been on an, you know, social media app, because then they'll go nuts. Like I remember those kids in college
it's
that
true.
Never drank before they got there. And then they're just wild and crazy for the whole year. But you want them to be wise about it. So that's something I'm still navigating too. So you guys met up through, you called it a commonwealth. Is that the same as a co-op?
Basically. Yeah.
I don't know. I only belong to a commonwealth. So I assume they're similar.
I don't know.
I always thought a co-op was a little bit more casual.
It's not a cult. It's not a cult. I think they call it a commonwealth here is because it's just a group of like-minded moms that it's just like a co-op. But
all
would
the moms
say,
are teaching.
Yeah, all the moms are teaching. Everybody's helping out. There's a board, and so the board helps so that it, like, it's been around for 17 years here in St. George. And wow. It lasts long. Like, so they, I don't know. Well, they just call it a
commonwealth. You grow your kids up in it.
Nice.
Yeah. And that also is a huge, I was going to say when we were talking about curriculum, like once my kids hit the high school age, that was their curriculum, was what they did at Commonwealth. They would do that. They would go to the class once a week and then come home and do the homework for that. So that's been a huge
help, which involved writing papers and briefs and giving presentations. I mean, it's pretty heavy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that sounds like,
they'll work on it all
a little
week.
Bit more involved than a co-op. I know some of the co-ops that like meets once a week. So you guys meet once a week. Is it all year from like September to spring?
Yep. September to the end of April.
Okay.
And
is it,
there's classes, our Commonwealth specifically has a junior school and they have fun classes for the younger kids. There's no homework. It's just come and they, right now we're doing like unit studies. So we just did a whole unit study on exploration, like exploring the United States and different kind of explorers, Lewis and Clark. And anyway, so that was for the younger school. Different, obviously different classes are doing different things, but that's the class I was helping out with. And then we call it our scholar school for the kids 12 and up. They take certain classes that help them. Our Commonwealth actually does a graduation. So last year, my son graduated with 9 other kids in our Commonwealth. Uh-huh. And it was really fun. Really, really cool opportunity.
Oh, nice. So then
lots of families. How many families?
There's 30.
Wow.
Yeah, 30 families.
And how did you guys tell us about Wealthy and Rad and what you guys, how you guys came up with that and what it is?
Okay. Mindy, go ahead.
So Wealthy and Rad is a personal finance curriculum that was designed initially to be taught in co-ops and commonwealths or groups, any kind of groups. And it's directed towards kids age 14 to 18. So high school age kids. And So the background of it for me was that, I know it's similar for Kendra, but Kendra's husband wasn't unemployed, but mine was. My husband lost his job, and he was unemployed for an extended period of time. And during that time, our neighbors were amazing, and they would hire them to do things. And our neighbors were so phenomenal. So they have cleaned houses, they've planted gardens, they've done all sorts of things for our neighbors, and the neighbors would pay the kids. So my kids always had some income they could go. Well, I had one kid out of the 5 that would save her money tight, but the other kids, it would be gone the same day. They would, we need to go to the dollar store. We need to go here. And as we approached this, they were 14 and they were about to be 15. And I knew that I wanted to teach them, and I was trying to decide on a finance program for them. But there was a component that was missing from the other programs that I wanted my kids to have. I wanted them to open up multiple savings accounts that they could save for a car and save for college and save for long term. I wanted them to have an investment account open. I wanted them to actually know what it costs to buy groceries and then did they have enough to prepare for their family. I wanted them to invest in their health so they knew that staying in good health was going to be financially in their best interest. I wanted them to create a business and do a marketing plan and a business plan and actually make money that they could report on. I wanted them to see needs around them. I wanted it more hands-on. I wanted it to be feel and touch the actual money and to be doing that stuff. And I knew I finally reached a point one Easter laying in bed as I was really like, okay, we've got to do this. It was Easter, so I was preparing for the next season. Like, what are we going to do in the fall when we start? They need finance now. And I was like, I'm going to teach the coolest class. We're going to have them. They're going to open up accounts. They're going to be making meals for their family. They're going to buy cars. They're going to buy houses. They're going to understand how the money works. They're going to budget. They're going to actually get money. They're going to get paid for doing stuff. And then they'll use that money to work on the assignments. So they are actually using their ATM with their debit, with their PIN numbers. They're actually doing all this stuff. And I knew that I was going to have to do it. You know, I wanted to teach it in the Commonwealth, and our schedule, the Commonwealth decides in April what they're going to do for the next year. So it had already been decided, but I was like, this class needs to be taught not only to my kids, I had triplets, so I knew that there would be 3, but I knew it needed to be taught to all the kids. Every kid needs finance, every single child. I wish my parents had taught me finances. It would have been so much better for me if I knew how credit worked and why you want it to be a good credit and how it is so beneficial to have a good credit score. I wish my parents had told me how a copay worked on insurance so that I didn't get it dinged on my credit because I thought insurance was supposed to pay it. So I refused to, thinking the dentist's office was flawed, right? And so I knew this is what kids needed. And I was like, who am I going to teach with? And I had sat with Kendra one afternoon. We were sitting together at the Commonwealth and we were talking and I was just, you know, my husband was still unemployed and I was just saying, oh, it's so stressful. And she was like, you know, I used to get really stressful. Her husband is an entrepreneur, their family is. And she's like, I just learned that it just all works out. And like just sitting with her in that conversation, I knew that she knew money. I knew that she knew budgeting and finance. And that was at that time I had learned that. So when I decided, I was like, who am I going to create this with, or who would be awesome to create this with? Kendra came right to mind. It was like, Kendra, I was so excited. So I called her up and I was like, Kendra, I have an idea. And she was like, oh, I totally need this. I want to do this. In fact, she told me, Kendra, you tell your part, but this felt good to me when she said, they asked me what I wanted to teach this year, and she wasn't teaching anything, which is rare. You teach, you know? And she said, I didn't want to teach anything. And they said, well, if you were going to teach something, what would you want to teach? And she was like a finance class or something. And so it was so funny that I was like, oh, okay, this is it. This was meant to be.
Wow.
So what's your story, Kendra? Yeah.
When I met Mindy at the Commonwealth and we were talking, and she called me, I think it was the beginning of the summer. She said, do you want to do this? And I had been asked, like, hey, will you teach this history class? And I was like, yeah, I don't know a ton about that time period, but I guess I could do that. I don't know. I was super wishy-washy about what I wanted to help out with. And when she called, I was like, yes, that's exactly what I want to do. I love finances. I love helping people with their finances. I went to college in family life economics. My favorite classes were family finance. And if I ever had a full-time job, I would probably do that with help families with their finances and budgeting. And so Mindy and I got together that summer, and I think within a week, we created the curriculum.
Wow.
It was fast. She had so much in her mind, and I was like, okay, let's do this. And we met up at the library a couple of times and busted it out, and we taught it to our kids that year, her triplets and my daughter. And it was awesome.
And many other kids. We had 16 kids.
Yeah, I think we had 16 kids that year.
Yes.
Oh, how cool.
So with this particular class that we sell, through Wealthy and Rad, it is through for groups. And then eventually we decided, well, we need, not everybody has a group. We need an independent study. And so actually 2 years ago, we developed independent study. And so, it's pretty much the same curriculum. You're just doing it at home. Within the groups, you actually get paid. So the parents pay for your class, right? They pay the $150 per semester for the class. And then we actually pay the kids for doing their assignments. When they do their assignments, they get paid. Then they have to budget it. Then they have to save. They have to donate. They have to put some in their checking. And then at the end of the year, they actually invest all their money into an investment account. And it's super fun. And the kids love it. There's so many hands-on activities. One of them is they have $10. They have to go find an outfit. They can go to a thrift store, or they could go to Walmart or whatever, and they have to find an outfit and come to class the next week wearing what their $10 outfit was. Some people bought a shirt. Some people were able to buy a shirt. Actually, I think it ended up being $16. They had $16 to spend, but bought pants and a shirt and shoes from a thrift store. And they came and they showed the class. We had a fashion show, and it was super fun. But assignments like that, where we give them a grocery list and we tell them they need to go to the grocery store and buy these things, and they have to go and write the prices down for all of them. They don't buy them, obviously, but they write the prices down for all of them. And we see who, cost comparison wise, you guys went and shopped at Kroger and you went and shopped at Walmart, and how much was it at these places? But just fun hands-on activities. With independent study, you don't pay yourself for the class, but usually if you're taking the class, you have a job. And so you could go do those kinds of activities. If you don't, that's okay. You're still learning. We have great books that we have the kids read throughout the semester. There's 6 books that we read.
Love the books.
Awesome books. And then this last year, we actually created a Wealthy and Rad Junior for kids 5 to 11.
Really?
Just to help younger kids start thinking about what to do with their money, instead of just every time they get money, they go to the dollar store and buy a crappy toy that breaks within a few weeks. Or a day. And that was really fun to create this last summer. We did that.
Oh, it's a fun one too. The activities are fun. It's just an immersion to money. The first really solid, they can make money envelopes. They're doing origami money. They're setting up lemonade stands or some other method of selling. They're doing auctions. It's really fun. Fun in a family setting. For a whole bunch, a whole family, or fun in a group setting. It's a really great, simple, the lessons are all planned out. So it's really easy for teachers, and it's, just, it's hands-on learning fun.
That's so awesome. I completely love this and I agree with you so much. And it's funny, parents that want to homeschool but are scared to, you know, they think of things like, well, I'm not going to be able to teach my kid the quadratic equation or who all the parties in World War One were. But it's like, all right, well, one, what do you need the quadratic equation? Do we use that now as adults? And two, how easy is it now? You look up who was in World War One. You know what I mean? Like, we can learn that as we're teaching them, like right. You said earlier. And things like how interest works is not taught to us in school. And that's something that everybody uses. Everybody. Everybody, like whether you have a credit card or a mortgage or even just how a mortgage versus rent really work and like what you would need to go from renting to buying a house and things like a car, like my sister's kids all graduated from, you know, a good public school, quote unquote, you know what I mean? Like, but my nephew still didn't know how to write an envelope. Like he couldn't, he got a ticket. He was going to mail cash. They never taught him this stuff in school. And it's like, these are the things that we do need to teach our kids. It doesn't matter if they know the quadratic equation or not. What are the real world things that they're going to need? So her three kids, all of them go through vehicles, like buying a brand new vehicle, then selling it, then buying the next one. And I'm like, have you guys ever sat down and looked on paper just the taxes when you purchase the new vehicle?
That
tax money does not get deducted when you sell it. You don't get that back. So you're spending the tax money. And if there's any closing costs on the loan, and then if you get rid of the loan or pay off the loan before, sometimes I know if it's before the 3-year mark, you get an additional penalty with it. That's never talked about in school. If it is talked about in school, it's a very specific class and it's not like really.
Yeah. And not everybody's taking it.
Not everyone's taking it and it's not delved into. It might be brushed over. It's not like this where you're saying, all right, go take out a loan or, you know, let's pretend that we're the ones taking out the loan. Let's read through the bank documents, you know, and that is just really huge. So kudos to you two.
Thank you.
I had a cousin who was sharing, she did a podcast for a little bit and she was sharing on her podcast. I was listening to it and she was like, we just bought a home and I literally knew nothing about how to buy a home. People, they would say like, what are closing costs and what, like all this lingo. She had no clue. She's like, I didn't learn this. I never learned this. And I had no clue what I was doing. Thankfully they had a realtor that was honest and good with them because she had no clue. And that's when the independent study came to me. I'm like, this doesn't even need to be for homeschoolers. This can be for anybody to take this class. We have a whole unit on buying homes. We have a whole unit on insurance and just the lingo that they don't learn. And then all of a sudden they're expected to go out into the world of being an adult and they don't know those words.
Yeah.
They don't.
It's a whole unit on college. Yeah. A whole unit on college costs, a whole unit on housing, whole unit on inflation, whole unit on compound interest and how it works for you, how it's your best friend, how it takes time to grow. I mean, it's so phenomenal. These kids, everyone has to have it. If it's not ours, it needs to be something.
Yeah. The conspiracy theorist in me would tell you the government's purposely not. The Rockefellers, when they wrote the curriculum for the public schools, they purposely left out that information. They do not want an educated public, especially about finances, because then that will, you know, impact the money that they
keep them poor.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So so it's up to us to empower ourselves and our children in this. And you're right. It can be at any age. It can be at 5, you know, as we talked to our son about it. And even my husband and I, we sat last week with a financial advisor, or maybe an investment, I don't know. But to say, you know, can we survive on one income? And there are just so many things that we don't even know about or have like our ducks in a row about. Like we know, okay, we should make a will. What would even go in that? But it's like, why? And anybody that has a kid should have a will or a way to say, like, if something happens to my spouse, what do I do? What finances, one, do I get? Do you need life insurance? How much? What is the difference between life and term? That sort of stuff. Even to say, like, if something happened to my husband, I'm going to be distraught. I'm not going to be like, oh, let me go through all his old paperwork and see if there's a policy through it somewhere. And his job, I doubt they don't have anything together. Most companies don't because they're all understaffed. They're not going to be like, let's call Cheryl and tell her everything she's owed by our company. You know, so it's like you have to think about, okay, well, if I die, this is the stuff you're entitled to. And if you die, this is the stuff I'm entitled to. And this is who, you know, would get the children. And God forbid something happened to both of us or whatnot. But it's like, how is that not, especially as you're planning a wedding, right? Like we're going to have this and this and photographers and videographers. Right. No one's talking about like, all right, well, let's think about the important stuff. And it's just so backwards. Really makes you angry.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's amazing.
Yes, it is. So it's been fun to watch the kids who've taken the courses have bought their own cars with cash, have paid with college with cash. They don't have loans at the end. They've gotten scholarships or they've just saved and paid. They have 401ks. They have one of them has, I know many, but one in particular, when I taught with Kendra the first time, he opened a Roth IRA through his family, was able to help him do that. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, if some of the books that we read are not The Millionaire Next Door. It's the updated version. It's the Everyday Millionaire. And it just shows the average income in time by retirement with adequate spending. You know, you can be a millionaire. You don't have to be wealthy to be a millionaire at the end of your retirement. And that's what kids need to know. Like, I think people think, what's the purpose? I'm not going to be able to live. I can't afford it anyway. But that's not true. It's actually most millionaires are average people who watch their budgets. Mm-hmm. And so letting kids know that is who it is. And The Richest Man in Babylon, that is such an amazing book. So good for kids. It's a story all about like how the savings builds in your pocket.
Really? And I need that.
Oh, so many great books. Oh, it's such a good book.
I have on my counter, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, too. What are your thoughts on that one? I haven't read it yet.
Mm-hmm. That's one of our books. We actually read for the teens. We read one called Rich Dad, Poor Dad for teens that Robert Kiyosaki wrote. And it is a phenomenal book.
I should probably just get the teen version. Yep. I find that I just learn better with children.
They're
books.
Both really good. I do. His audio, we listen to it on audio on Audible, and it's 2 hours.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, book. I have to side myself up for that one because it's been sitting there. I keep looking at it, but I'm like the type of reader that I open it up at 10 o'clock at night and a paragraph in, right. I'm asleep. One day in my retirement, yeah. I will have time to read. And at that time, it's going to be too late. It's a scary kind of world right now with the economy and the dollar. I know I worry about, is the dollar going to collapse? You hear lots of things. Did you find that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That you had to like really go out and learn. And then you got Bitcoin and all that stuff. How has that influenced what you are doing with your curriculum now?
So we haven't delved too deeply into Bitcoin. We do actually have it listed as a presentation. So the kids will give they have to research some different things. There's like a specific year of penny that is kind of valuable. So they'll research that. They'll research all sorts of different things, the stock market. So, you know, but one of them is Bitcoin. So we'll get a presentation that the kids have provided for us on Bitcoin. That's about as deep as we get on Bitcoin. Specialties for that. So hopefully what this class will do is ignite interest that will cause kids to delve into opportunities for learning. Because there's no way to cover everything. Yeah. But it can cover a solid basis for kids. Solid. And then they can, any specialties, they can go and research.
Yeah, that's cool. Are you?
Yeah, I've had kids teach the class that like love the idea of Bitcoin. And the boy that taught our presentation last year, it was phenomenal. It was like, oh, I want to learn more about this because he was passionate about it. Whereas other kids, like, they don't even want to go there. Or, you know, entrepreneurship. Some kids are like, I'm going to start my own business. And some of them are like, no way, I'm going to work for others. And it's just fun for them to like at least test it out. We had a kid that has no desire to ever start his own business, but he's so smart and he wants to be an engineer and like he already knows what he wants to do, but he tested out being an entrepreneur for 2 weeks while we did our entrepreneur unit and he learned so much and he learned he doesn't love it at the same time. Like he doesn't want to own his own business, but then there were some kids that were like, this is what I want to do. I love it. So I think it's a fun class for them to kind of see what they're passionate about.
And that is something I think we lack in the public school system. I know for myself, it was never like you can start your own business and this is how, you know, it always seemed like something unachievable. Right. And think about the, I mean, you can be a plumber and start your own business, but you still need the basis. You can an engineer and start your own business. It's like, it's everything, an artist or anything, a dance teacher. Anybody can start their own business, but I feel like the public school system a lot of times just makes it seem like one, not an option, or two, very unachievable. And it's actually achievable at any level. And then to know all the possibilities of, all right, well, what could I start? But it's like the basis for all of them. Hey, open up a checking account. This is how contacting clients works. This is record keeping. This is the advertisement part. You know, this is a contract. Things like that are so, so important. And I think this curriculum will really do well. I know I will use it one day. And it sounds like my son is, you know, he's five. Thank you. He definitely will be right there. And he's interested in that sort of stuff now too. It's like, okay, well, we bought you a $60. He bought his own race car for like remote control. It was $60 and it broke in 2 days. So we returned it and got another one.
Oh, that so broke in
30 days. So I was like, all right, well, if you spend more money.
Oh, those are C cars. They're the worst.
But like he spends hours out there.
They love
building
them.
Little I ramps know. For them to jump off of and stuff. So it's cute. But yeah, that was like a cool little introduction to him on, and, you know, we read the Tuttle Twins books too. So like that, they kind of talk about that
great
and how that works in our economy and capitalism and all that. So that's great. So how can people find you if they are interested in this curriculum, Wealthy and Rad?
We are all over. You can reach us at support@wealthyandrad.com. And then our website is wealthyandrad.com. And you can find us on, if you just search for Wealthy and Rad on Facebook and on Instagram, you'll find us as well. And we do lots of posts and lots of things and tips and tricks for teaching your kids and on those. So follow, like and follow and get your feet wet. It's time. It'll be so good for your family. Yeah.
Boy, if anybody needs to know anything, I think finances are it. You know, absolutely. Yeah, Mindy and Kendra, thank you so much for being on the show today. I look forward to enjoying your curriculum with my kids and hopefully have you guys on again. And you can tell us as you develop the curriculum even more over the years, come back and tell us about it.
Awesome. I'd love to.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, ladies. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. If you've enjoyed what you heard and you'd like to contribute to the show, please consider leaving a small tip using the link in my show's description. Or, if you'd rather, please use the link in the description to share this podcast with a friend or on your favorite homeschool group Facebook page. Any effort to help us keep the podcast going is greatly appreciated. Thank you for tuning in and for your love of the next generation.